Off the Ball Rugby.
It hasn't worked out well for Ireland, particularly, which were ultimately the paymasters. But then at the same time, Ireland weren't paying James Lowe's salary. Leinster were. He wasn't on a national contract.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Hello, hello, and welcome along to Word on the Street, Da Classica.
There we go.
It's yeah, way better.
I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
Well, I was thinking it's like the death of football, funeral bell.
This is probably the worst recency bias of all time.
I say Boxing Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Eve.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely. Hello, hello. Happy Thursday. Welcome to Word on the Street. Funny, the end of our new sting there goes, is it shite? Will you watch it? Absolutely. And we're talking about the World Cup, which might be a bit harsh. It's not shite, but we're definitely in the early stages of it. And some of the games maybe leave a little bit to the imagination, I would say. I'm here with Eve, as per usual. Eve,
and
how are you?
I'm good. I mean, I'm kind of on my news round setup. I'm over in the corner.
Do you like it? Do you feel comfortable over
there?
Yeah,
I do. I quite like it.
Rachel is out gallivanting, but we have a able substitute, our World Cup football expert. I actually don't think I've ever met anybody who knows as much about a singular tournament ever in my life. Ben, how are you?
Big words, high words. Yeah, I'm doing well. Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thanks very much for having me.
Have you missed a single game?
Yeah, I have.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Should preface that by saying I have.
Which one?
I missed Sweden versus Tunisia, which was Sunday night at 3 a.m.
How dare you?
Jordan versus Austria, which was 5 a.m. on a Tuesday night. And
a Tuesday night, Wednesday morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like 5 a.m. Wednesday morning. And obviously I work the evening show here in Off the Ball. So it's kind of been handy that I can stay up and watch the guys, but that was just too far.
Yeah.
I missed Canada versus Bosnia because I was working a League of Ireland match. And I was at a gig last Saturday, so I missed Germany versus... Who were they playing? Can't remember. Wasn't even there. Côte d'Ivoire.
Côte d'Ivoire.
Germany versus Côte d'Ivoire on Saturday evening. I missed them.
You're not doing too badly.
Other than that,
considering we're 2 weeks into this World Cup and there's only been 4 matches you haven't seen is insane.
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
Don't know whether it's impressive or whether it's something that you use madness. It as a stick to beat me, whether it's madness. I think I've kind of lost my mind, a little bit sleep deprived. So,
do the matches get better the more sleep deprived you are?
No.
No.
No, no. You just get more
and
more.
You don't enter like a state of vague hysteria.
No, you get more and more delirious and it's like 4 in the morning and you're like, why have I not turned this off and gone to bed? Just in the hope that something may happen. Yeah, might need to rethink it going into this final group of games. Do I give the 3 AMs a miss?
Yeah, maybe take a break so that you're like ready when knockouts come.
Yeah, knockouts starting Sunday night, 8 PM Sunday night. So I'm kind of thinking if I give myself tonight and tomorrow night off. Tomorrow night I'm actually going to miss France versus Norway.
Oh no.
Because I'm doing our commentary game, which is St. Patrick's Athletic versus Bohemians. So yeah, I'm missing that one as well, which I think that could be a sign. Take the next couple of days off, miss the evenings, and be refreshed for the mania that's going to be the round of 32 knockout phase.
What's been the best and the worst game you've watched?
The worst game, there's been a few. I think the time comes into effect when you think of the worst game. Scotland versus Haiti was pretty poor.
Yeah.
It was quite poor. There's ones that are bad for different reasons. England versus Ghana was pretty poor.
Yeah.
But I was kind of enthralled by watching how poor I thought England were. Ghana were set up quite well, but I was enthralled by how poor I thought England were. Best game? Some of the games in the Netherlands group have been pretty good. Netherlands-Sweden was kind of exciting. Netherlands-Japan, I thought, was quite exciting.
Yeah.
Tactically based, it was very good.
The only game, to my shame, that I've watched in full.
Yeah, I thought that was quite good.
It was a good game.
England-Croatia was quite good. I missed some of the second half with work schedules and stuff like that. But yeah, and obviously any game when you're watching Messi and he's doing well for me is like...
It's kind of the gold standard.
It doesn't get much better than that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to come up a bit in this pod because we've been... Eve and I were out on the streets as we usually do on a Thursday morning cornering people to try and get their opinions on the World Cup because it's a weird one. It feels like it hasn't really taken off in Ireland. I know Ireland aren't in it, which... we'll hear from someone in a sec who said that made a big difference, and obviously it does, but I still thought like something as big as the World Cup would have more hype around it.
I feel like it's, I feel like people are watching it, but maybe not as intently or steadfastly as it would have been a few years ago when the matches were at more sociable times.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, isn't it? That
yeah.
Nobody can be Ben.
Not everyone can. But also, it's like...
Everyone can be as much of an idiot to stay in the
It's not a social thing if you're having to... If you're watching a game at 3 a.m, like, the pubs aren't open. If you're watching it with people, you have to make sure you're all on evening shifts if you want to get to work the next day. You know?
Yeah. It did strike me, though, that most of the Irish people we went up to today just said... Like, our leading question is, are you watching the World Cup? And most of them were like, no, sorry. Or they'd be like, nah, not really.
I think that's a consequence of it not being in the knockout stages yet.
Yeah.
Like, that the fact that we're still kind of getting through these. And now with the head-to-head kind of metric for deciding the group stages, there's a lot of games that kind of don't mean a whole lot are going to happen in the next few days. So it's a good time if you want to sleep. You know, you can maybe afford to miss a few of them. But I think once you get to the kind of quarterfinals, that's when everyone's going to start locking in properly, maybe. You seem to have, there's people who watch all of them and there's people who aren't going to watch many until the knockouts. I think we're in a very divided camp.
Yeah. Let's listen to our, I don't have his name, unfortunately, but the first guy we were chatting to in Stephen's Green on a lovely stroll through the sun.
It's just not like good times, I suppose, like, you know, like on anything past, you know, kickoff of 10 o'clock, you know, I'm in bed, so.
Would you, if Ireland had qualified, would you, and they were playing at 2 a.m, would you have stayed up to watch?
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of just like keeping up with the big ones, like when Messi is playing or England, of course, like you have a little bit of an interest there, I suppose, because you know all the players, but other than that, like, I'm not going to watch two teams that I don't really know any of the players on.
Do you want England to win when you watch them?
Not really, no. I'm intrigued to see how they get on, yes, but do I want to see them win? Probably not.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
He had to think about that, didn't he?
He did. I kind of thought he was going to say yes for a second.
Yeah, I'm not the right person to be looking at right now. I'm going to root for them until, I don't know, maybe if they make it to the semis, maybe. I don't, like, because my mum's English, so I'll watch it to support her, but I don't know if I could sit down and willingly root for England in a final.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to get there, but.
It is a weird one where Irish people will watch the English Premier League and root on these players in an English Premier League when you have an Irish Premier Division here. That is a bit of a weird one, and obviously nationality is a complex thing. Like, it is imagined, like it's not a real thing, and we imagine we belong to a nation, and that you kind of just go with that steadfast no matter what. But there's a side of me that doesn't want them to win because of the rivalry, and like you do naturally. I know it's an imagined thing, but unfortunately, I buy into the imagined thing of that I'm Irish, and you have this natural kind of disdain for people associated with the English national team. There's that side of me that doesn't want them to win. There's a side of me that I've watched them and I've thought they've been abysmal. They've been really, really poor. Yeah. And I've been really let down by watching them and expecting better things from them, and they haven't been a good watch at all. So there's two sides of me going, I don't want that team to win. Now look, there's plenty of time, they can kick into gear, but from what I've seen of them so far, I don't know how they can shift the way they've been playing when to face better teams in the knockouts. And I don't think they have that kind of point of difference in their team that Spain have with Yamal and France have with Michael Olise and these type of players. I don't think England have that in the squad.
Yeah.
Do you think that Harry Kane is falling below par in terms of we're seeing all these superstars like Haaland, Mbappe, Ronaldo, but and maybe most of all Messi, who are really shining in already very good teams? Harry Kane's been the best and most consistent striker in Europe this whole year. And yet he's not really, he scored two goals against Croatia, but that Ghana performance was pretty abysmal.
There's a couple of factors to that. Like Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe, Haaland being outstanding so far has ended up becoming this narrative. I know they haven't been good. I'm not for one second saying they haven't been good. But it's ended up becoming this narrative and it's become bigger than what it is because the World Cup, I think, is in America. And America is so focused on this like superstardom and ultimate mega consumerism, and it's like, these are the stars, we want to focus on the stars. It's the same in all American sports. In NFL, you have Tom Brady and you have Patrick Mahomes, and the quarterback is the star, he is the guy, and that's perfect for them in football. Like, the goal scorer, the guy you guys see claim, he is the one. Like, we saw Ronaldo scores, he goes off to the corner on his own and he does the celebration, and we heard Darren Fletcher on the American commentary, you know, do the celebration with him, and they love that. And it feeds into that narrative. And then when someone doesn't buy into that narrative or lean towards it, like Harry Kane has done with England, it tends to become bigger than it is. And I don't think it's a wider... I don't think it's a thing of Kane necessarily playing really poorly. I think this has become a narrative because England aren't set up well to change games. So everyone knows when they come against England what Harry Kane's going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to drop into pocket space. He's going to pick up the ball. Yes, he's going to want to try to score at the end of it, but he wants to be a main creator and playmaker as well. That Ghana game the other day, Ghana knew exactly what he was going to do. And Ghana were so happy to sit in this like compact 4-1-4-1 formation, let's say, or 4-5-1. And they sat really narrow. I'm aware I'm getting a bit nerdy and a bit geeky and tactical here, but they sat really narrow. And they looked at England's two wingers, which were Anthony Gordon on the left and Nani Madueke on the right. And if you put them up against France, Spain, these top teams, even the Netherlands, I think sometimes, these like top teams who are going for the tournament. Argentina obviously have Messi, so that's not even a debate. Portugal, they're not as good as them. And Ghana were just happy to say, you know what? We know what you're going to do when you get the ball. You're going to run down the line. Harry Kane's going to drop a little bit deeper and then get on the end of those crosses. We're happy for you to have the ball. And as soon as you have the ball, we're going to press on you. We're going to have like a rash. And that's what they did. And it meant that Kane couldn't kind of drop into those spaces. And then when he did, it was kind of flooded. And I don't think it's a fault of Kane. I think it's a fault of Thomas Tuchel, and I think his squad selection. And it's very early to pinpoint squad selection. And there was hysteria over when he didn't pick the likes of Cole Palmer, Phil Foden, Morgan Gibbs-White of Nottingham Forest, and Jared Bowen of West Ham. These attacking players have scored a lot of goals, and I think it is going to hurt them. I think it's going to hurt Harry Kane, because if Cole Palmer came on the other day, he would have dropped into those pocket space. It would have allowed Kane to say, like I said to Chile, you know, don't worry about picking up those pocket space. Get in the box, son. Get on the end of the crosses. And that would have allowed Kane to score more goals. And then he would have fed into that narrative of he's excelling. The superstars are excelling. It's this big, great American World Cup. It's bigger. It's better than ever. And all stars are super.
I think that's a good point. I feel like they're not very like lovable. They're not very exciting because they don't have a Messi or a Yamal or somebody who you're like is going to be on your Instagram feed every day. Like, obviously, Harry Kane is incredible. But England just aren't like, they're not winning. Maybe it's just because we're in Ireland and that's just the sentiment we have anyway. But I feel like on your For You page, sorry, the things that are coming through, like, are the Messis, the Ronaldos, the Yamals, like, and the exciting players.
I kind of disagree. I understand your point when you're saying about American sport being very individualised, and that's why there's so much focus now on Messi and Haaland and Mbappe. I think it would be a real shame if the superstar players at the biggest level in sport weren't performing, and I don't see a problem with kind of them becoming the main topic of conversation. But I think Thomas Tuchel's squad selection, when he had such a focus on picking players to play in a very certain way that he wanted and being willing to drop Premier League superstars like Palmer and like Foden, and like you see them, I think it's a Cole Palmer who does the ad.
Brr.
Yeah. I mean, he does the ad before that comes on a lot of the games. Obviously, they were participating him.
Sorry. Who needs Cole Palmer when you have him at home, you know?
Exactly. But it was a brave and bold move, his entire squad selection, to kind of nearly go against that narrative of you're not picking what you would think of are typically the best, whatever, 20 players, however many in the squad. And then... Yeah, I'm very defensive of Harry Kane. That was a lovely defense of him. Thank you for that in that Ghana performance. And in my little vague English bias, I want to see him perform very well.
I'm going to move us on.
Can I just say very quickly on that? The whole superstardom thing, like, it is a World Cup. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
We've seen it time and time again. Messi in 2022. Mm. Even if you go back to World Cups that have been North America, Maradona in 86 and Pele in 70 and the pictures of them getting hoisted aloft in the Azteca.
I was about to mention, it's always them.
It always is the superstar. But in America, it just tends to lead into it a little bit more.
Mm.
I think on the other thing, in the Tuchel thing, I did applaud him at the time for sticking to his roots, and he loves being in control. And and if you play if you pick Cobhammer and you pick some of these other players, you're not in control because they're not willing to, like Madueke and Gordon will fall into your game plan. Yeah. They're not gonna go outside the norms. But I think he was applauded for it at the time, and I just think it's gonna end up being his downfall because they're so one dimensional. You have to have a point of difference. You have to be able to change up your tactics, yeah. And it will happen. It will come to a stage in the tournament when Messi's been marked out of a game, and it's very hard to mark Messi out of a game, but there will be a stage when Argentina, when they can't get Messi to do what he does, and someone else is going to have to turn up. And it did happen a couple of times in the last World Cup when Julian Alvarez turned up, mm-hmm. and Angel Di Maria turned up. I don't think England can do that. I could be proved wrong, but I don't know if they have that point of difference. Mm-hmm. That would be my worry for them.
Okay. We'll have to wait and see. On the superstar thing, it leads us very nicely into our next clip. We were chatting to a Dutch man who was wearing a Dutch... the Netherlands jersey, although he kept saying Holland.
He kept saying Holland, and he's from there, so I think you're fine.
Yeah, and I'm from there, but sometimes it just slips out. But anyway, and he was talking about the whole superstar thing, and he had a bit of a hot take on Messi and Argentina in this World Cup.
The FIFA wants to have that Leo Messi become world champion because it's his last World Cup, so they do everything to let him on.
Okay, so you think they'll be
there's more money involved than the real game. Mm. Infantino don't think about the countries, they only think about the money. So next year, probably it's instead of 48, there are 62 countries. So maybe there's still a chance for Ireland then.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Do you hear that at the end? Maybe there's still a chance for Ireland if they have 62.
I don't know. I think we had a great chance there at the current World Cup, I think.
Yeah, seeing Czechia just do nothing is so irritating.
Yeah, we had a debate in here last week that maybe we would top the group but we'd win some games, we'd made it, and then you watch Czechia getting trounced in all three games and you go, oh God. look, I don't know. Like, obviously it'd be great for Ireland to be there. I don't think they will extend it beyond the 48. I hope not. I've seen some people arguing, like, if you have 48, what is the difference in just making it 64? Like, they're like, you already have this over saturation of games. Mm. We've gone over the point of oversaturation.
Yeah.
Does it even make a difference if you add in 20 more teams?
And does it make it less special having...
It's depressing.
Does it make it kind of less special if there is more... Like, if Ireland qualified for a 62-team World Cup, it's like, well done. If you didn't, that would have been horrific.
Yeah.
You know?
We are going to come back to that because we have our lovely American friend Janet who has the opposite take of this. But what do you think of the Messi-Argentina conspiracy theory?
FIFA have had their moment now, Messi winning the World Cup. That was their, they did want that. Like, that's not a debate. And that's not a conspiracy theory to say they wanted Messi to win the league. FIFA always want to start to win the league. Same way UEFA, or to win the trophy, sorry, excuse me. Same way UEFA were delighted when Portugal won the European Championships in 2016, even though Ronaldo didn't play a huge part in the final. Mm. The picture of having Ronaldo with your trophy and the lifelong legacy of that, of course FIFA want that. But they've had their moment with Messi. It's not a... if France go win this and Mbappe's holding the trophy, maybe not the Netherlands and Van Dijk, but if Portugal go win it and Ronaldo has the World Cup for the first time.
Yeah. FIFA already had their egregious moment with Messi at the last World Cup of having him in the... lifting the trophy wearing the kind of... what do you call it? Like a shawl or...
Yeah.
It kind of... I never liked that picture. It's very FIFA. You know, we're going to put the World Cup and spend so much money on having it in certain locations, and we're going to ignore the politics, and we're going to actively not talk about the politics of, you know, lives lost in the creation of these stadiums, blah, 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 and all of this that we spend hours talking about and discussing and dissecting, and they get their nice money shot. I don't think they're manipulating games to try and get Messi to win a World Cup.
No. Well,
again,
you would never know.
I mean, personally, I would love if Messi won another World Cup because I think he's the best footballer of all time, and also because I did get Argentina in the work
sweepstakes.
So I'd quite like €120.
Yeah, a lot of the people we spoke to today who were watching or were vaguely interested were supporting Argentina.
Yeah,
which is interesting. I kind of thought maybe Scotland, like, it's close, it's across the water. I mean, they're never going to win, so maybe what's the point? But who are you supporting?
people love to back a winner. Like, I think that's also why people love picking certain countries. I kind of do tend to have fondness, like Argentina, I've always had a fondness for, because of Messi. I love Maradona as well, so like it's I have a thing for those players, like small players who can change the game at their will and people can't get near them. It's like this shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be possible to be able to do this. As a football fan, you're hard kind of not to be drawn to Brazil and watching that canary yellow in a World Cup. There's something about it. And like last night versus Scotland, I know Scotland went great, but there's something about watching a Brazilian superstar. And it was Vinicius Jr. last night, and it was just like, there's something different about it. It's a different feeling. Like, the word aura is what comes to your mind. Like, they just have this supreme aura where they're just... You see them walking out in the yellow, and it could be anyone. It could be Joe Soap from down the road, like walking out. But as long as they're in that jersey on the World Cup stage, they just have this air about them, and it's just it oozes class and confidence and sometimes cockiness. And you need that when you're watching Brazil.
That's why I love their celebrations as well. I know some people really don't like him while you're dancing, a bit of a Roy Keane kind of, you know, stick to the football, but. I just love how much fun that they have with football. And I don't think Brazil are the kind of powerhouses that maybe we build them up to be in our minds because they're Brazil. I'm not going to say they're the Man United of international football because they're like, what, third in the rankings? But I'd love to see them actually get properly deep into this competition that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, well, I think that it also, what adds to this, and it's the same in Argentina, where we don't understand what football means to these people. Like, we don't. Yeah. We would love to make a World Cup. When we don't make the World Cup, yes, we're devastated. We get over it. Like, Brazilians still talk about 7-1 defeat in 2014 almost every day. Like, football is the three pillars of like Brazilian life is like their culture, their religion, and football. And football is like this ever-present thing that comes into every facet of their life. And when it comes down to a World Cup, like, every member of that 26 player squad is a superstar to them.
Yeah.
Is a god. And when they put on the yellow jersey, like, we saw the reception that Neymar got last night. And Neymar turns like a bus these days. And, you know, he looks slightly out of shape when he comes on. But you still, for some reason, because he's in the Brazil jersey, you don't put it past him to do something magic.
Yeah.
And they have that sense with him. And it's just, there's something about that, watching something that it means so much to them. And like, I'm wary I can go on rambles about Brazil because it just fascinates me. But just before the tournament, I watched their squad announcement, and I was on YouTube with 3.4 million people in the live stream. There was another one in Brazil which I couldn't access because it was geo-blocked. I think there was over 20 million in that
one. Oh my God.
And the squad, it took an hour before Carlo Ancelotti went up and did the squad announcement. And they do this amazing thing where, you know, I'm lucky enough as a journalist to go to FAI events here and Irish events, and what will happen is, you know, Hamer Grimson will put up the squad on a list behind them, and then you ask questions. What happens there is the coach goes up with a notebook, and the whole, it's in front of, it's this huge room full of media and other people and interests, and the coach goes up with his notebook and he starts off goleiros, which is goalkeepers, and he goes Alisson, Ederson, Weverton, and then he goes on to defenders, and he names each defender individually and the club they play for. And it was just this beautiful moment when he's announcing the squad, and it's in alphabetical order, and he's going through the atacantes, the attackers, and he goes Igor Jesus, I think it was, or was it, sorry, Igor Thiago, Igor Jesus was there as well, into I think it was Luis Enrique came after him, and you knew João Pedro, he had a name, João Pedro, and you knew Neymar was in. And you could see this moment in the room where they all kind of went, oh, he's miscalled Neymar. And I think he calls Matheus Cunha just before, and then he says, Neymar Jr., Santos, and the room loses their mind. And it goes on for a minute of them just going, oh, Neymar's just in the squad. And then it just goes on for a minute, and then he's like, please, please, I'm trying to read out the rest of my notebook. And the next player is Rafinha, who plays for Barcelona. He's a huge superstar. And he goes, Rafinha, Barcelona. And they go. And it's just like this superstar that they have around Neymar, and this joy, and it's something about that. And to watch them win another World Cup and to know what it would mean to them, it's the same in Argentina. You couldn't but not support that.
And I think that's why for a country who aren't in the World Cup, like, since we're kind of looking for stories and looking for narratives among other countries, who are we going to support? What's sticking out for us kind of, it's a nice thing to be able to kind of appreciate other people's cultures and to be looking and seeing why other people love football in the way that they do. Who were we chatting to that was kind of sharing this opinion of the more the merrier?
Janet.
Janet. Lovely Janet from America. And here's what she had to say.
I think the more the merrier. I think it's I personally like seeing as many countries as possible play, and you know, I know the knockout rounds are coming, but you know, it's been fun to see everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm a little bit bored.
Well,
but I think this is about the rugby as well. They're expanding to, I can't remember off the top of my head, but they're expanding for the next World Cup. There'll be more teams than ever before. They're adding a new round of 16, which we've never had before, and I'm just like, please don't do it. I want Jeopardy from start to finish. I want buzz. I want to be excited.
There's two sides to it. It can work in football because upsets in football are way more common than in rugby. And yeah. There's a,
which we have seen, in we fairness. Have
se- you've seen them, but they're like, I'll give you an example. Already in this World Cup, we've seen Curaçao hold Ecuador to a draw. We've seen Cabo Verde hold Spain to a draw, which are just like the equivalent of, you know, and Namibia going and beating the All Blacks. It just doesn't, these things don't really happen in rugby.
Yeah.
And I think there's such a difference between the top eight teams in the world in rugby and everyone else. It's just this huge monumental drop, whereas in football, I think it's a mix of, because it's so universal, because there's so much money in it, that if you look at the likes of, you know, Haiti squad or Curaçao squad or Cape Verde squad, we have perceived them as minnows. Like, a lot of the players came through academies in Portugal, in the Netherlands, in France. Mm-hmm. Like, you these results will happen. They will still happen. And yes, we will have games like Germany 7, Curaçao 1, but then the very next game, it's Curaçao 0, Ecuador 0, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is the beauty of having these teams.
Yeah, but there's just a little bit too much. Like, you almost can't keep up with, yeah, okay, there's a couple of cool games, but because they're drowned out by everything else.
Already you have the biggest World Cup sticker book ever.
I was getting there. If you had given me 1 second.
Did I steal your thunder?
Eve's in a rush, guys, if you can't tell. Yes. I had a really funny intro planned, but then I lost my notes when I was introducing you, Ben. But the BBC had an article on these beautiful, sorry, Ross, if you're watching, I grabbed your book a bit aggressively, these beautiful sticker books. And it says, for decades, children have excitedly bought, traded, and coveted stacks of stickers featuring pictures of the best football players in the world. We have our very own child, Ben Symes. Tell us about these stickers. We're going to open some, which I'm very excited because I've never got to open them before. But give us a brief sum of why you're doing it, what you love about it, if that can possibly be brief, and your best story so far with them.
Why I'm doing them? Mix of nostalgia, bringing out the inner child in me. There's also a little bit of a side where I just love the art of putting a sticker into its book. And
you do it very neatly.
Half peeling back the layer and lining it up with like half the adhesive open and half it closed, so I can line up into the corners. It really irks me when sometimes they're cut wrong.
Is Ross as neat as you? So you're a little bit of a psychopath is what you're telling us.
A little bit, yeah. I like stuff being neat and tidy and into, you know.
Would that stress you out then? It's because
it wouldn't stress me out as much, because I know they can be uncut. I know they can be cut or cut like wrong. So I wouldn't be worried about it. But yeah, I do like having things in order kind of in general, and like having structures to things.
Do you have a spreadsheet for this? So I heard you say.
Yeah. yeah.
I love a spreadsheet. This is good.
This is one of the joys of staying up for the World Cup at 4 in the morning, that you get these hour gaps between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. Like, what the hell do I do here? So yeah, I created a spreadsheet. I can get it up if you want to, I suppose.
Thank you.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, so there are 980 stickers in total for this Panini World Cup sticker book. It's the last World Cup stickers that Panini are going to do. I don't know whether they've lost contract or FIFA are going with someone else.
Fanatics is going to be the next one.
Which,
in 2031, yes.
I was surprised Fanatics didn't get rushed in for this one, because they've kind of taken over the American market with all sorts of memorabilia and merchandise. But yeah, so it's 980 stickers. At the moment, I have 752, which is 76%. remaining 228. You might be wondering, God, Ben, how do you have all those numbers at the top of your head? Well, I don't know if you actually will be able to see this. But,
oh my God.
Yeah.
It's that's a thing
for
of
anybody listening as well. It's Excel skills that I actually don't even have in my everyday job that Ben has created.
I don't really have them either. I don't really know how I've done this.
Did you Google?
No, I don't really know how I've done it. I got help at Google to how to do the
boxes. The people are listening. Like,
I think like a 2 a.m. hysteria, vague kind of induced state can really help with stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it can. Yeah, you know? I mean, you're so like hyper fixated on let me get this done before, you know, Argentina play Algeria. I'm trying to think about a 2 a.m. game that I watched. Colombia play Uzbekistan at 3 a.m. Yeah, it kind of helps with it, and like it actually has ended up being really handy. So like if I look through here, like there's 8 stickers at the front of the book. I'm 100% on that. Mexico 75%, South Africa 60%, Korea 100%. They're the only team I've completed completely. But it's very easy when, you know, there's a couple of people in the office collecting them and they go, oh, I have USA 5, do you have that? And I just go, instead of having to open my book and flick open, I can just go on my laptop, that's open for a tweet. Yeah. No, I don't.
Like got yeah. need is the
yeah.
kind of...
It's yeah. basically has got need, yeah. So,
how much do you think you've spent? Because I was having a look and the BBC estimated, now nobody's going to buy all of them because there's swapsies and trades going on, which I'm sure you have some good stories of. You had some delivered to the office, did you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into yeah. that in a second. But the BBC said if you had to buy all of them, you'd have to buy, they had this great formula. It was beautiful. 7,316 stickers would roughly probably get you the 960. That would cost you £1,300. That's a lot of money.
I think it's about 1,100, I think, euro. No, I've not spent anywhere near that much, thank goodness.
How much do you think you spent?
I don't have any wood to touch. I would say I spent just under 200 euro.
Woofed.
Yeah.
That's some commitment.
And it started out by something that I didn't know I was going to spend that much. I was kind of doing it as a passing interest. Then I got fairly bet into it. Now I'm like, was that a mistake? Maybe. Don't really know. Kind of, what's the point in pondering on that? I've already done it.
You're too far in now.
With not being able to pay the rent when that comes around. Yeah, you kind of get too far in, you get engrossed in it. And look, I have been massively aided by the like swaps in the office, by people getting in touch with me. Still, if you want to get in touch with me, please get in touch with me. Oswald Terrace, Marconi House, Diggs Lane, Dublin 2. DO2TD60, I think, is our postcode. Ben Times, thanks. Yeah, massively helped. I had big shout out to Harry Bergen in Wexford who sent up a load and is actually going to send up some more.
Like, that's so cute. Really, it's such a little community.
It's a lovely community that has kind of been.
Have you been to any meetups?
I haven't, no.
I read there was a huge one in Central Park.
Yeah, there was one in a stadium.
Obviously that's in the States, but are there any equivalents here?
There was one in Stephen's Green a couple of weeks ago, but I was... I was working at the Ireland Women's game against Netherlands Parky Cueve on the Friday night. It was on Saturday morning. There's one in Chile in a stadium where 8,000 people gathered.
And I loved that particularly because Chile also aren't in this World Cup. So it's kind of similar to what we're experiencing of how are we making the most of this tournament.
The fans who don't have a team to get behind, they're getting behind the stickers.
So both of you have a pack in front of you.
Yes.
Before I have to leave, do you want to do a little live?
Yeah, let's do a little
ASMR. This is Susanna's first ever, actually.
I'm really excited. I do think... Quickly, I will open them, sorry. But in the States, they gave away 10 million for free at fan events, right? Before the tournament started. I think that's so clever because if I got a bunch for free, say I got 10 for free, and I stuck them in my book, I think I'd be hooked and then I'd have to keep going.
That's what's going to happen now.
Okay, yeah. Ready? Can everybody hear my rustling for the listeners? Imagine if you got, like, what card do you really, really want?
In front of the mic.
Okay, you can do it. Oh no, I'm struggling. I'm clearly not a pro in this.
Yeah, like who if Susanna opens up and here's someone like that you really need,
then that is my fee for the episode. Well, sorry, this is actually the beautiful thing of having a spreadsheet. Susanna can go, I got Bosnian number, whatever. You know? Yeah.
Is this just the cover?
That's Bosnian number one.
Oh, do you need that. Him?
No, I have it. Thanks very much, though.
If anybody needs these, do let us know.
Or if anyone knows Bosnia number 20.
Oh my God, I'm not going to be able to pronounce these names. Demiral?
Turkey. Defender, is it? Yeah.
Do you have him?
See, on the back, this is a beautiful thing. See the numbers in the top left and top right?
Turkey 7.
Yeah, so Turkey 7, I do have.
Oh my God. Yeah. Not a good start.
It's going to be a bit of this.
Craig Goodwin, Australia 17.
Australia 17.
This is like bingo.
Australia 17. I don't have.
Yay!
Hey, there you go.
Here you go, Ben.
Oh, thanks very much.
Fee paid. Ooh. No. I did the classic, it looks like the Irish flag. I was like, what's he doing in here? Ivory Coast, number five.
Cote d'Ivoire, number five I do have. Yeah, Cossonel.
Sorry, Cote d'Ivoire.
I'm hoping you get a Netherlands player. This is what I'm hoping for you.
Nkata, South Africa, number 19.
Ooh.
Could be in luck here.
Fana Bafana.
You need to leave at any stage, you know.
For my job, yeah.
No, I do have it.
You know what? We gave you one. We are Argentina. Argentina 13.
Argentina 13. I do have.
Oh my days,
you really am a bit of a loser here, yeah. This is really...
Last but not least, Haiti, number five.
I think I do have him. Duvernay, isn't it? Awesome. I do, yeah. Yeah. One is good, though.
Yeah, one is good.
See, and now the benefit of this is you have six stickers that's going to get you hooked.
No, I'm not. I'm not spending 200 quid on this. Do you want to open yours quickly? You'll be quicker than me.
We did one on...
The suspense.
On air
a while ago. It was really
and,
good.
Oh, that is beautiful.
There you go.
See, he's practiced at this now.
We did one on air the other week, and it was like semi-successful. There's a few that I didn't have. The Senegal team, we are Senegal. Do you want me to go through if I have these or not?
Yes,
or?
Please.
Yes, okay. Please. I'm hooked. For you, though.
Senegal 13, I don't have.
Yay! So there you
go. Cote d'Ivoire, Agbadou, who's number 8. You had Cote d'Ivoire at number... Do you have Cote d'Ivoire at number 7?
Five.
Sorry. I thought it was number 7. I do have Cote d'Ivoire number 8. Saudi number 8. Hassan Al Tambakti. For Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who I do have. Sorry, guys. Quintero, Panama number 20. Who I don't have.
Hey! Go. Jesus, got guys. The three.
Marcel Ruiz of Mexico. I'm about 7 of him. So if anyone wants Mexico number 12, Marcel Ruiz. Back to Panama, Andres Andrade. Panama number 5, who I do have. They also give you, before I get on to the last sticker, they give you these things. You can do digital packs now.
Oh, I don't like that as much.
Yeah, I haven't started it. I know Ross in the office has done it. I don't like it.
I like the beauty, but the kind of tactile.
Maybe a bit of a traditionalist that I like to actually put them in the book rather than have them in the cloud.
Yeah.
And finally, Iran number 18, which is Mehdi Taremi, who's played for Porto, if anyone is a football nerd, who I do have. Three stickers is pretty good.
I think 3 out of 2.
How
packs.
Many do you have now?
So.
Sorry, because you had 700 something.
So that puts me up to 755. So like I'm not good at maths, but that was 14 stickers and I needed 3 of them and I have 76% of all stickers that I had. So I think that's that's a pretty decent return considering.
Ethan's on Nassau Street.
I was going to say, that's where people need to go get their stickers, clearly.
Free placement.
I would like to say, you're welcome.
My 150 went to good use.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, they were 150 in Ireland for a pack of 7. So there you go.
Yeah, like in Chile, I know they're 91 pence.
Okay.
Or pesos. Sorry, I just saw P beside it, so I'm trying to figure out what it was. So yeah.
This could be like the McDonald's Big Mac. Do you know when they used to measure like how expensive a city was based on what the Big Mac cost?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave, which is very sad, but I'm glad I got to stay for that.
I think we're pretty much finished anyway. So thank you for tuning in. A bit of a crazy episode.
I liked it. I think we should do more kind of just a little mini events, you know?
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. And if anybody wants any of these stickers that we called out, do get in touch. And please send Ben some.
Please.
Ben, thanks very much for joining us. It was very entertaining.
Thanks for having me.
I learned a lot.
Thank you.
All right, thanks guys. See you next Thursday. Hello, hello, and welcome along to Word on the Street, Der Klassiker.
There we go. It's way better.
I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
Well, I was thinking it's like the death of football, funeral bell.
This is probably the worst recency bias of all time.
I say Boxing Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely.